Hi, and welcome to another edition of the Church and Gospel Podcast. I'm excited today to have a conversation about student ministry, and to have that conversation, I have with me my good friend, Jonathan Denton. Jonathan, good to have you here today.
Yeah, Ross, man, it's great to be here. I'm excited. Always love just talking about student ministry.
Okay, well, so maybe to start, you can just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do here at CSU.
Yeah, so like I said, my name is Jonathan Denton, and I have now been in student ministry for 20 years now, just doing student ministry. Started when I was in college and worked with a small church in Walhalla, South Carolina, and I've also done summers with Centrifuge. I was at a church for 10-plus years before I came here, and then about 2 years ago, got to come to Charleston Southern, and really just God called to teach the next generation of student ministers and how to do student ministry. So, yeah, it's been a great 2 years here.
Well, we're grateful to have you here, and we're grateful that you have this wealth of experience of working with students, and now you're able to kind of take that and pass it on to the next generation. So, today, we want to talk about a particular topic that that is near and dear to your heart, and that is the topic of shepherding the hearts of today's students. So, why is that something that that you think is important?
Yeah, it really is important, you know, the heart of students. And we've all seen the numbers. We know, you know, that students, and does it really, you know, what we're doing, does that create life change, you know, to students? Does that carry them into college and into their young adult years? And as I've kind of wrestled with that topic, I really have, you know, read a couple of things that really started helping me to think about the heart of students, and do we reach to the heart? I remember even when I first applied for Centrifuge, and they were talking to me, I applied to be a pastor for Fuge, and they said, you know, life change happens the most in the context of relationships. And that we don't just teach for the mind, you know, we teach for heart change as well. And there's a quote by a book I was reading that really started me into, you know, shepherding the heart. Is by Rick Lawrence. He said, "I believe youth ministries and churches in general have been using a flawed strategy for discipleship. I call it the understand and apply strategy." And, you know, we have, and I know that's the way, I'm a logical thinker, you know, I love to teach, and we just naturally think, if I can just pump them full of Bible knowledge, then that will result into, well, they'll just live biblically, you know, in their life. Well, I've worked with students in this culture, and that just does not translate, you know. Biblical knowledge is obviously very important. You know, it's a spiritual discipline and something that we work on with students. But then he said this, "It assumes people grow deeper in their faith when they understand biblical principles and apply to their lives." And he says, "The ultimate reason teenagers stop following Jesus after high school is that they can." And that really kind of hit me, you know. Well, I guess it is. I mean, we give them the option of, you know, it's a mental choice, you know, that they have in their life. And at the same time, I was studying in New Orleans, we talked a lot about head, heart, and hands.
Right.
And I realized a lot of what I was doing was teaching the head and then thinking that would naturally translate to the hands. And really, I bypassed the heart in that whole situation, you know, in that whole discipleship strategy. And so I started studying more about what is the heart, you know, why is that so important? I mean, he says, again, the ultimate reason teenagers stop following Christ after high school is that they can. I mean, they're not ruined for him, as Peter was when Jesus asked if he was going to leave too. If you remember, Peter's response was, well, where else would I go?
Right.
You know what? I've been ruined for you. My heart is connected with you. And, you know, if we ask teenagers, I don't know if they would respond, you know, in that same way, like Peter. A disciple's answer at question is something like, I don't understand a lot of what you're saying, and I can't comprehend the things you do, but I know I have nowhere else to go. You've ruined me for you. Disciples answer this way because of the depth of their attachment to Jesus. And so that really just got me started into, you know, the importance of the heart. And I've noticed that even in my own parenting with my son, you know, I've wanted him to play lots of different sports and get him. And I say when Josiah plays sports, it's a team activity because we have to cheer him on and tell him what to do, you know, every step of the sporting. It's a group effort, you know, for him to do a sport. But he's really gotten into swimming. And I've watched with swimming, like, I don't say a word. First off, I don't know, you know, even what they're doing out there swimming wise, but he loves it so much. He's listening to his coach while he's staying on the side. He's not jumping around. He's practicing the strokes. And what's the difference there? It's because his heart is in it. You know, it's something that he really cares about. And so now when that knowledge comes in, it's leading directly into action into his life. So the importance of the heart.
Right. So maybe as we think about this missing component of our ministry, maybe we need to think a little bit about what Scripture has to say about mm-hmm. the heart.
Yeah, and Scripture does. I've been reading a lot. I did a Parents of Teenagers Bible study, and we looked at Psalms and Proverbs, and just the number of time that heart, you know, comes into, especially when he's talking about when the father sits his son down in Proverbs and biblical wisdom. Just so many verses. You know, wisdom is supreme, so get wisdom. And whatever else you get understanding. That's Proverbs 4:7. You know, Proverbs 4:20 and 21. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. And then listen to what he says. Keep them within your heart. You know, and obviously the way we think about heart is not exactly the same as the Old Testament. But for the Old Testament, the heart was thinking. You know, it was understanding, but it was more than that. It was also feeling and passion. And he says that the words I'm giving you, the words of God's Scripture, we're supposed to keep that in our heart and keep it. It's not just I can spout off Bible verses, but like it really has ruined me for him. And it's something I keep close. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. I love reading Paul Tripp's work, and Paul David Tripp, and he says that fruit change is always a result of root change. Huh. You know, that fruit change and what happens, you know, outwardly is all because of what God does inwardly. He says that many times what we try to do is like we want this fruit in a kid's life, and so I'll just try to create this fruit in their life. And that's like if I go in my backyard and there's a pine tree, but I want an apple tree. You know, and he uses this illustration. And so, you know, I could go to Harris Teeter and get beautiful apples and then staple them, you know, all onto this tree. And we look out and it's a great looking apple tree. But what happens, you know, 2 days later, I mean, it looks terrible. All the fruit is rotted because it's not an apple tree. There's no root change that has happened. He says that fruit change is always a result of root change in our life. And so once again, the heart, it's the source, you know, of our life. And then in Luke 6, it says, a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. On the other hand, a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes or grapes picked from a bramble bush. A good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart. And so, you know, that a tree and the fruit, it comes from the tree itself. So many times, you know, we focus on the outward fruit. There's a whole lot more work that goes in that produces that, and then the tree produces it itself.
So I think about this as we think about with working with students, and I really it seems like a lot of what we do sometimes is we think about, well, we need to change their behaviors. We need to get them to do the kinds of things as you were talking about. So what does this look like when we're working with students? What's the distinction between really drilling down towards shepherding their hearts to be all in for Jesus, and what is more just behavior modification?
Right. Yeah. One of the things my wife and I, we love to do is garden.
Okay.
And so we've gotten into gardening, and this is the first year where, like, we're really excited about the vegetables and the fruit and that we have, that's starting to grow. I mean, we feel like we're almost real farmers now, you know, in our backyard. But part of it was that this year we took about 2 weeks and all we did was work on the ground, you know, of getting better dirt and working the dirt before we ever planted anything. And we worked on that soil that was there and really worked hard on it. And we're already seeing the results of that in the fruit that's being produced, you know, in our gardens and our vegetables. I mean, it looks so much healthier. We have so many more. I mean, we have 2 Roma tomatoes with 19 tomatoes on it already, you know, just in those 2 plants. And a lot of that came from the work and the soil. And I even, you know, I've adjusted even the way I teach college classes, in that before the first day of the class, I pumped them full of knowledge. This is what we're going to cover, you know, and trying to get them excited about what they will actually learn. And you teach as well. You see the glazed over look, you know, from that beginning, the syllabus shock of everything. Well, now I just talk about the parable of the 4 soils and go through that. You know, I teach the same thing to every class, you know, to every student. You're going to hear the same information, and I'll try to help you, but your responsibility is the soil.
Right.
You know, what type of soil are you going to receive this information in? And I think, you know, we work a lot on that, like you said, the outward change, but a lot more of ministry is just this gardening, this creating soil that helping them and their roots to go deep into God. And so when I talk about, you know, reaching into the heart of students and helping out the soil, you know, that may look like just practically, you know, just looking for windows, you know, into the student's heart. I've realized that the sermon does not start when I walk up on stage and begin preaching God's word. It really starts when that student walks in the door and learning and just saying hi to them and asking them about their day. So much of my focus for a while, because I'm a strategic, you know, I want everything to be perfect. I was running and getting the soundboard set, you know, making sure everything on stage was perfect. But I was missing those moments when a student would walk in and say, "This is my day. I had a great day. I had a bad day," you know, missing those moments, you know, into the child's heart. You know, you're a dad, you know, when you walk in, it's so easy to walk in, right, and just be glad you're home. And then you miss those moments with your kids of when they talk about, "Hey, this happened today," you know. And so it's the same way in ministry, that I want to have everything done so when a student walks in, I'm ready to be fully present,
right,
you know, with them at that moment. Yeah.
Yeah, that seems connected to something you said earlier with the importance of relationship and how what we're doing is not just transferring information, but we're really shepherding them to see God's love through us, and we can point them to the great love that he shows us in the gospel.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I know Dr. Richard Ross at Southwestern used to say, you know, trying to create a pipeline from your heart to the student's heart. You know, he was talking a lot about parents, you know, to kids. It's the same thing in ministry. You know, if we can find a way to connect to the student's heart, then they're so much more receptive to hear God's word for that. A few other things, you know, just being empathetic, you know, really listening to a student more so than anything else today. Students, you know, they want someone to listen and to hear and truly be there, you know, for them. And then finally, finding ways just in their situations, once that connection relationally with the student is then to be able to pour the gospel into their life. And I know, just like I'm sure you have and me, when we look back over our lives, the times we really learned something was when our hearts were open and receptive and we were ready, you know, to hear from God. Paul David Tripp says this: why do we spend hours preparing to teach while we offer important personal direction without a second thought? You know, that really hit me when I was reading that. We forget that God uses those interactions to apply the transforming power of Scripture to people's hearts. We forget that God's Word is our primary tool of change. Instead, we come up with a little personal wisdom and personal experience and let the words fly. You know, and because I love to study God's Word and teach, and so I'll spend hours for that. But then a student will come by and ask me a question, and I just, you know, say a couple words and move on, and reminded me, hey, they may be learning more about the gospel in that 2-minute conversation than they even are, you know, listening for me from on stage. Maybe not more so, but at least as much so about what the gospel is. So always being ready that, okay, if I get that window open, then I'm going to try to speak the gospel and be prepared even in those moments.
Well, Jonathan, thanks for taking some time to talk with us today about these important topics. And I'm sure there's lots more we could talk about, but I think you've given us plenty of things to think about and to apply, not just certainly with students, but even beyond students in any kind of ministry or any kind of relationship that we are involved in. I want to thank our listeners for being with us today, and tune in next time as we hear on the Church and Gospel podcast seek to apply the gospel's truth to every aspect of life.